I've worked in the media industry my whole life. I've worked for newspapers my whole adult life. And I just noticed a really big gap for Australian kids in terms of news. We really don't have much in Australia that is child-friendly. I mean, a lot of parents can probably relate to, you know, having the radio on or having the TV on and some horrible news story comes on with graphic images that you just don't want your kids to see. And of course, those are the ones the kids are most curious about normally, and you feel like you have to rush to switch it off. The same is the case with newspapers. You know, I've talked to a lot of parents whose, you know, kids were starting to get interested in what was going on around them and what's happening in the world, but they didn't feel like they could hand over their newspaper and comfortably have the kids read them. So I noticed that there were a lot of kids' newspapers overseas, so they've got them all over Europe. There's a couple in the UK, they're in the United States, they're in Canada, they're in a whole lot of Asian countries, and for some reason Australia has not had one up until now, and I thought it was about time to change that.
How's it been received?
The response has been fantastic and a real sort of vindication of the fact that we thought that kids would actually really go for something like this. And they have. And so we sort of started pretty humble origins. So with both of us, myself and my co-founder, have a lot of experience in newspapers, but we didn't have any sort of big, you know, company or backer behind us. We just sort of set out to create a quality national newspaper. And with very little sort of funding, we've managed to, and certainly no marketing budget, we've managed to get thousands of kids, households subscribing across the country, and we're in about almost 10% of Australian schools now too.
The big talk in this industry these days is that the rivers of gold are gone and the newspaper industry is starting to disappear slowly but surely. How did you do the hard sell on the backers on this one?
Look, the key thing to point out is that that this is a newspaper for children. So in other words, your readers are just completely different from adults. So we tend to get lumped in with newspapers generally, and you're quite right that not only in Australia but around the world, newspapers are in rapid decline. It's very different when you look at the newspaper market for kids. So they're all thriving overseas, and this is printed newspapers, not online, not apps, not social media. This is printed newspapers that kids are holding in their hands. And it's just a completely different readership. They're on the, as we see the major, you know, masthead decline, we're seeing kids' newspapers rise. And that's due to a number of things. One of them is kids actually, a lot of evidence to suggest that kids prefer reading in print, particularly once, you know, at that pre-teen level. Changes once you get to that sort of 14 and beyond. But prior to that, kids still like reading printed books. They love the idea of having their own newspaper. We're a subscription-based newspaper, so kids get to run to their letterbox once a week and get their crinkling news out of the mailbox, and it's addressed to them. So it's just very different, and we also follow that subscription model. So the rivers of gold that people talk about, that's advertising money, and it's true that that is spread far and wide through digital now, and so there's not much left for newspapers, but we also get that revenue stream from having a subscriber base.
Have you had any indication, though, of like people subscribe to the paper? Have you had any indication, though, of how much of the content's actually being read cover to cover?
It depends, like with any newspaper reader, it depends on the child. The really interesting thing is because it's a newspaper for kids, crinkling news is read in very different ways. So in a classroom, a teacher might identify a couple of articles that they focus on in one class, for instance. The school librarian might focus on something else. The geography teacher might focus on something different from the English teacher. So it's used in different ways in schools, and then also sits in the library for, you know, kids to browse through. At home, it depends on the age of the child, their reading ability, their interests. I mean, so I've worked for newspapers my whole life. I don't think I've ever read a newspaper cover to cover, the sports section, the world section, the you know, drive section, you know, in, and the news section. So, crinkling news is 16 pages each week. A lot of kids, we have some pretty avid readers and some very loyal readers who, when they get the paper, we get a lot of feedback that it's read cover to cover. They get it out of the letterbox and they disappear for a few hours and they're reading their crinkling news and they
that's
do the
great.
Puzzle page. Yeah, that's right. And then some kids, particularly probably at the younger end, might pick and choose articles that really interest them.
You've touched on it a few times that there's relationships with schools. What kind of relationship do you have with the schools?
Well, like our subscribers at home, that they're subscribers, so they get the paper just delivered to their schools. And look, it depends on the school how the paper is used. So, one school might just get a couple of copies and leave it in the library for kids to read. I mean, not all kids want to read fiction books, for instance, and we're one of the things, the feedback that we've got is that it's Crinkling News is particularly great for sort of reluctant readers who might not get into sort of kids' books, into novels, but are really interested in facts and non-fiction, you know, so they'll embrace it for that reason. One of the other things that has, I think, made the paper so popular, and this is why it works in schools, is that while all of our news stories are written by professional journalists and sub-edited and fact-checked and all of that, all of our book and movie and video game and exhibition reviews are written by kids. And all of our opinion pieces are written by kids. So we find that a lot of schools will get, say, a whole class to write a book review for Crinkling News, and one or two of those might end up getting published in the paper. Another class might all, have an actual task set where they all have to write an opinion piece for Crinkling News on some, a topic that is being talked about, that week in the news. So it's used in different ways in different schools.
If there's schools around the community who might like to get involved in some way, how might they do that?
Well, the best thing to do is just go to our website, which is www.crinklingnews.com.au. And you can subscribe there as an individual, as a school. You can get in contact with us through the website and we can talk to you about how many copies of the paper you might like for your school and how also you might be able to get involved and get your students involved.
I was impressed looking at the website by the level of content that you were producing, as far as it doesn't seem like you've actually dumbed things down for children. There's definitely stories that are accessible on multiple levels. How do you make those decisions about what content to actually talk about?
It's a really interesting one, and it's obviously one of our biggest challenges each week is to work out what we're going to cover, but more importantly, how we're going to cover it. And we were very clear right from the start that we wanted this to be a genuine source of news and current affairs for kids. So while we do a lot of fun stories and really interesting ones and wacky science and new discoveries and interviews with, sporting heroes, we also cover really serious things. There's a debate this week, for instance, on Gonski. There's a debate on the citizenship test. We will cover those things, but we do it using child-friendly language. And most importantly, we relate these stories to children's experiences. So rather than sort of talking down to them and presuming they don't understand anything, we incorporate the explanation and the background to these stories within the news story itself, within our coverage, so that kids, we don't assume any knowledge, for instance, when we come to publish a news story. So we have little breakouts with facts and figures explaining the background to a story.